This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's your weekly fix of international LGBT news and current affairs right here on Joy 94.9. It's Worldwide Wave. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to T for the 6 at 6 at 6.30. In the studio tonight, Alex is here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Stefan.
Good evening.
And I am Matt.
In case you haven't heard, it's Grand Final Week. Whether you follow AFL or Rugby League, the last two teams standing will take to the field this weekend to determine who will be called the Premiers for 2019. And statistically speaking, standing among those footballers is almost certain to be a gay or bisexual player. No one that is publicly out, however.
Our guest tonight began to come out while he was playing at the highest level of American Football League. But it was not until his retirement that he actually went public. He's written a book about his journey titled My Life on the Line, How the NFL Damn Near Killed Me and Ended Up Saving My Life. He is the former offensive linesman for the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, Ryan O'Callaghan. Getting to the height of professional football takes much more than skill. It takes drive, passion, and a winning mind. But what happens if you have other things on your mind, like wrestling with your sexuality? Ryan O'Callaghan was the offensive linebacker for American football teams, the New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs. And he was also secretly gay, very secretly. His inner battle turned his life to turmoil until his team helped him to accept who he was. We started by asking Ryan if he had any visibility to queer people when he was growing up.
So when I grew up, I was, that was the late 80s, early 90s before the internet and before there was the visibility of LGBT people on TV. So I never really had anyone in my life or in the public eye that I could look to and relate to.
You mentioned in your book that you didn't actually have a passion for football. How did you start your football career?
Yeah, I never had a passion and I still don't. I was a bigger kid and I was around a lot of football because my dad was an official and it was kind of assumed that I was going to play, you know, and I was Tom's son and being the size I was, it was just a natural thing. And then, so I started playing, didn't like it, but I was good. And quickly I learned that that was a great cover for being gay. So I took it as far as I could. You know, I was never confident enough that I could convince a female that I was genuinely attracted to her. So I thought that would blow my cover. But I was confident enough in my football ability that, you know, I could use that as a cover and just run with it.
Give us a bit of a taste of what the football culture is like, the good and the bad. If you're sort of having these feelings, what's it like within that culture?
Every different level that I'd played on was different. High school, everyone's pretty immature. A lot of guys are talking and using slang, you know, anti-gay language. I don't want to say it on the air, but we get up to college, there's a little less of that, and it's more guys talking about really all the girls they're getting with. And I wouldn't call it a hostile environment for a gay player, but you know, it was hard for me to fit into a lot of the conversation. So I always had a way to back out because, you know, I didn't have anything to add to it when they were talking about girls. And when you get to the NFL, it's business. You know, you're there, you're doing a job, and it is a workplace. So guys are a lot more respectful and focused and they're also more mature. So especially these days, this younger generation is not so quick to judge. But I say that, and reality is after I did come out, I had a lot of veterans and older guys that I played with reach out to me, guys that I never would have expected to hear from, give me a call and just show their support.
Just been talking about the football culture. One of the things that we read was that you stated that in your mind, the life of a gay man was not worth living. Tell us what you were going through at that time and what brought you to that conclusion.
You know, all my feelings of self-hatred and doubt that I would ever be accepted and loved, those came from things I heard from family and loved ones and friends growing up. You know, every time you hear someone that you look up to and love saying something derogatory about a group of people that you relate to, you know, you at least I felt that they were going to feel the same way about me. And that's why I was absolutely convinced that they would never accept me or love me. You know, I'm happy to say I was totally wrong on that. And most of their words were out of ignorance and not hate. But as a kid, you don't know that. You hear parents or other family talking bad about gay people, and you're sitting there gay and can't tell anyone. You know, you can easily convince yourself that they'll never love you too.
It's impossible to really recount your story without talking about the suicide note. Would you mind telling us a little bit about this part of your journey?
Yeah, there were a couple different times over those last year of my life where I felt like I was at the end of my rope, and I would start writing things here and there, but really at the end, I said to myself, okay, you know, I was taking a lot of pills and I didn't know if I would overdose, and really didn't care if I overdosed. And I felt like writing a note and having something would be the right thing to do, as silly as that seems looking back. But, you know, you get in a mindset where, you know, everything's just negative and you can't, you know, find any positivity in anything. And you're depressed and you just write out your thoughts, really, you know, apologize. The last thing I ever wanted was someone else to point the finger at themselves and blame, you know, even specifically my mom. You know, growing up, I heard things from family that put me in that state of mind, but for whatever reason, I didn't want my mom to feel like it was her fault.
And that's American gridiron player Ryan O'Callaghan. And remember, if you need help with any of these issues that are raised in this story, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, Switchboard and QLife on 1800 184 527. Coming up, Ryan tells us who helped him to come out and how his teammates and clubs reacted. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hi, my name is Robbie Watt. I'm from Kootjuk, Northern Quebec in Canada, and you're listening to the World Wide Wave.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, 'cause I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Trippin'. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Even if I tried. Even if I wanted to.
was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Don't press pause. Progress march on with the veil over our eyes. We turn our back on the cause till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath, it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
And I can't change.
Listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy. That was Macklemore, Ryan Lewis and Mary Lambert.
Great song.
Great song that was played at the AFL
Grand Final. A little bit contentious at the time because it was in the midst of our marriage equality debate.
Yes.
But I'd say there were more supporters of it than against, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a few messages coming through. Actually, this story lit up our Facebook feed during the week. It's the story out of Indonesia, a law that is being proposed. It's going through the parliament now that criminalises consensual sex outside of marriage. So that is not just for same-sex people,
for heterosexual
people.
No, it's for everyone, Bali, Bali, Bali.
I know. Well, that's really what everybody's pointing out. Lindy says,
good luck to them.
Think of all the extra money they will make with all the bribes. Joe just says, it's another reason not to go to Indonesia. Hoffler says, Bogans love Bali. That's why I am proud to say I've never travelled to Indonesia after the Bali 9 incident. Sadly, Westerners have become selfish and don't care if policies, it affects minority groups. Melissa, WTF. I don't think they realise the impact this will have on their tourism if it becomes law, especially in Bali.
Look, I just think it's unenforceable. And it's...
Yeah, how do you
enforce
hardly,
that? It's hardly the only country in the world that would have on a statute that premarital sex or marriage, sex outside marriage is... There's probably plenty of countries people travel to and don't even know it's officially. It's a lot of countries would have it but never enforce it. I'm guessing probably half of Africa would have some sort of laws like that, not to mention some Catholic countries. So why they're even bothering to bring it in is one question. Another question is how can they possibly enforce this? They're going to have sex police going around. Good luck.
You can join the debate on Facebook, W3Joy, or World Wide Wave on Facebook. Tonight, though, we're in the US.
Exactly. American footballer Ryan O'Callaghan's secret that he was gay threatened to tear his life apart. Ryan can clearly keep a secret from those around him, including his family. We asked him if other people noticed the challenges and changes going on in his life, or had he become so good at hiding things?
Well, I thought I was doing a really good job of hiding it, but in the end, I was taking so many pills and just really out of control. And I, you know, like I said, I thought I was doing a good job of hiding it, but our trainer with the Kansas City Chiefs noticed that I just wasn't acting how I used to. You know, I always tried to act happy at times, and I was always very inconsistent, but, you know, that was just kind of me throwing people off. But for whatever reason, he noticed that something was going on, and it was early in the morning, and he brought me into his little office inside the training room, and that's when he basically confronted me and said, hey, you know, you should go talk to someone. And he knew about the pills because the team was prescribing some to me. Well, they were prescribing a lot to me, but I was getting even more from the outside. So he assumed that that was the only problem, which was a huge problem, but he didn't understand the whole situation of what was going on, you know, internally of why I turned into an addict. You know, the feeling that opioids give you, that euphoric feeling, you know, they make you not feel like yourself. And at that point in time in my life, I would do anything not to feel like myself.
And you went to speak to somebody, and that person, it was the first time that you uttered the words, I'm gay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so after that meeting with our trainer at the Chiefs, he recommended I go talk to someone. And my first thought was saying no would just draw more questions. And so I agreed. And he set me up with Dr. Wilson, who was a big city, feisty, African-American lady. You know, walking in there originally, I thought, okay, you know, we have nothing in common. And, but it took months sitting down there talking to her and just kind of not getting to the real issue, really doing my best job of avoiding it. But, you know, after months of sitting there talking to her and things going downhill for me, and she was able to do her job and you know, pick me apart in her own professional way, and you know, broke me down to the point where I finally told her. And you know, the first thing she did was stand up and give me a hug and tell me that I wasn't the first NFL player to come out to her.
Did that blow your mind?
Yeah, it did, just because I didn't expect her to say that. Just, you know, just thinking, okay, the first person I tell who's a professional is talk to other football players. You know, I know the statistics of how many people are gay or bi, but to hear that from her right away was a little surprising. It's always good not to feel alone, but, you know, my biggest concerns were how my family would react and, you know, whether they would love me, you know. But in its own little way, knowing there were other guys just like me that she's chatted with, you know, I think that did help.
After the coming out, what about the football machine, what the club administration, the PR people, what were they telling you to do? And also your teammates, how did they react to that?
Well, the first thing the day after I came out was I went back to California and told family, told the people I was most worried about all along. And after that went well, you know, I thought, okay, you know, everything's going to be okay. So at that point, I knew I had to get my stuff together. And I had always had a good relationship with the general manager of the football team. He was the same GM in New England with the Patriots as he was with the Chiefs. And so Scott and I had developed a professional but kind of a buddy's relationship. And he knew what was going on with me talking to a psychologist. And I thought, since we were close, I just kind of owed him the truth. So I went in and I talked to Scott, and he, the first thing he did, you know, I, in my mind at that point, I'd only told a handful of people. So to me, it was still a huge deal. So I told him that I needed to talk to him. You know, I really got something we need to talk about. And so after I told him, he just kind of shrugged, like, okay, so what did you want to talk about? Like, it was no big deal. And coming from, you know, someone like him, you know, that's awesome. I mean, if you see Scott and you meet Scott, he's a big guy. He's, you know, very masculine. He's got a very, in America, a very powerful job. And, you know, to get acceptance from someone like him immediately is a good feeling. And from there, I heard from tons of teammates, and even the owner of the New England Patriots, Mr. Kraft, reached out to me. And since then, Mr. Kraft has been, he's been awesome. I've chatted with him more since I retired than I ever did when I was playing.
That's out American NFL player Ryan O'Callaghan. Aside from, he's obviously gone on a huge roller coaster there. There's this thing about the players, they're all young, you know, they're trying to find their feet in life, they're thrust into the limelight, you know, there's money, there's sort of saying the, you know, women who are wanting to get with football players or get together.
There's so many.
It's a very difficult time.
It is, and there's so many potential paths that they can go down that will cause problems, whether it's drugs, alcohol. You know, we've seen so much of that here in Australia.
And the club machines seem to be getting better at, like there was, it was his coach at the time that's picked up that there was something just not right.
Yeah.
And said, I think you need to speak to somebody. So whilst he didn't really know the whys or wherefores, he knew that this was a person who needed some help, which was, you know, very, very pleasing to hear that somebody would, that somebody noticed.
And that's, it's good that there's that intervention now in sporting clubs, because otherwise you can just see all these things being pent up and just being, you know, you're just exploding, particularly when you mix them with illicit substances. So, yeah, an interesting story, and interesting that his, was he saying his counsellor was African-American woman, the counsellor he was seeing, it's to sort of,
and professionally picked him apart. I love that she just sort of,
and
let
his
him
initial attitude nonetheless was like, oh, what do we possibly have in common? But as you know, she was a true professional, it sounds like.
Indeed. Now, those numbers for you again, if you feel you need some support, Lifeline on 131114, and Switchboard and QLife for the LGBTI community, 1-800-184-527. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Anastasia from the Svelte organization, Russia on the Worldwide Wave.
You can send us your thoughts or messages on our interview tonight. The SMS is 0427JOY949, or email direct to the studio on air at joy.org.au.
Tonight we're talking to American NFL player Ryan O'Callaghan. Since coming out, Ryan's story has attracted a lot of attention, and we asked Ryan if he had now become the go-to guy about anything related to being gay in football.
A little bit. I which is fine. I thought coming out publicly that people would reach out to me, which I'm totally fine with. You know, I obviously know how to keep a secret, and I've lived the life, and I understand the fear of being in the closet. You know, looking back, was that fear reasonable? Not really, but you know, it's a tough position to be in. So when guys reach out, and I've had several players reach out, NFL, college, and when they reach out, I'm happy to talk with them. You know, we still haven't had an active player who's currently playing come out. You know, that would be a huge step, because in American society, the NFL has a huge impact on the culture. And, you know, I think if a active player with a big name came out, that would really do a lot, because in our country, you know, there still aren't equal protections for LGBT people. And I think a lot of people still just are kind of lost in time when it comes to that.
So what do you think the barrier is for not coming out as being active and only coming out when retiring? What do you see the barrier to that?
You know, football's one of those sports where nothing's guaranteed unless it's specifically written in your contract. And guys dedicate their whole lives to football. You know, a lot of them are very passionate about it, even the closeted guys. And, you know, you have such a short amount of time to make as much money as possible to do something that they see in their eyes as potentially jeopardizing that, like coming out. That's a tough sell to try to tell them, listen, it's going to be okay. You'll be just fine. I try to point to other athletes like Gus Kenworthy, who was an Olympian for the American team, that he was the most sponsored guy on the team. So actually coming out, if anything, helped him. Mm. Now, you know, would that happen with football? I don't know. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, if a guy came out in the NFL, he would be perfectly fine and have the same opportunity that he did when he was closeted. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to actually chat with Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of the NFL, about this and what they can do to help. They've taken some steps. They've been more visible with their support. And, you know, hopefully that leads to, you know, some guys coming out. Because if they see that the person at the top is an ally and they're on our side, then hopefully that'll go a long way.
And making change for the better is something that you're working on personally as well. You've set up the Ryan O'Callaghan Foundation. Tell us about what the foundation is doing.
Yeah, so I started the Ryan O'Callaghan Foundation as a way to give back. After I came out publicly, I was offered all sorts of different speaking opportunities, the book, all these different things. And, you know, my personal opinion is I didn't feel comfortable profiting off my sexuality, if that makes any sense. So I started the foundation as a way to take all that money that's given to me for these different things, including writing the book. All of my money from the book goes directly into the charity. And from there, I give scholarships and support to LGBT students, primarily athletes. You know, the goal is to really help someone who is in a similar position as me, you know, maybe hopefully catch them earlier and encourage people to continue playing the sport that they love. You know, there's so many people that still don't think the locker room is a safe environment for them. And if I could do something to help change that, that'd be great.
And just finally, Ryan, what would you say to a current high-profile footballer in Australia, in America, who are wrestling with their sexuality? What would your advice be to them?
It sounds pretty cliche, but, you know, I would just say it's going to be fine, and it does get better after you come out. It's, you know, I built this up in my head to be some giant obstacle that I wouldn't be able to overcome, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. I've gotten acceptance from people and places that I never, ever imagined, and, you know, it's been great. Now, everyone's families aren't, you know, as liberal and, you know, for one reason or another. And so not everyone has a great experience when they come out to family, but, you know, I quickly realized there's a whole community out there of people that will welcome you with open arms. And, you know, one way or another, it will be okay.
The book is My Life on the Line, How the NFL Damn Near Killed Me and Ended Up Saving My Life. It's the story of ex-NFL lineman Ryan O'Callaghan. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
It's so interesting, that question about, or that idea about the impact that football has on culture, the reach that it has, the attention that it garners, so that if there was a high-profile footballer that publicly came out, you know, the clubs have already made it very clear in Australia that they are completely supportive, rugby union's taken the lead. But it still hasn't happened.
Yeah, there's been a lot of attempt and efforts made for visibility and for, you know, the Pride Cup. Not that I follow a lot of football, but I have seen that. So what's stopping people?
Well, I think it shows that there's a limit to top-down approach with some, with certain social change in some organisations. It needs to, you know, needs to organically develop from within, because he talks about the locker room, and I can only imagine, while there have been no doubt advances and changes in how those men talk to one another in the locker room, I'm guessing there's still a lot of
not terribly
blokey
PC.
you know, sexist language happening in there, particularly after the games when they're, you know, about to go out and have their post-game celebrations. I can only imagine, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in that environment in high school.
In the locker room.
And it was one that terrified me back in high school. Mm. But, you know, I can only imagine that's not dramatically changed, and so that's what they fear the peers.
I probably also hadn't really thought too much about that. Just what he was saying there, that these players, that when they're aiming for the elite end, they dedicate absolutely everything, and anything that stands in their way, then they just don't want to, they won't tolerate. They will, you know, they've built their whole life, their expectation around achieving the pinnacle. And so anything that gets in the way, even if it's your inner self.
It's a little bit like the army as well, isn't it? Well, there's this sort of thing, you've got to commit to the organisation, and kind of all those other issues are kind of, you've got to fit in, force yourself to fit into the square peg, you know, into being a square peg if you're not, even if you're not, I should say, you know.
But it was a little bit different for Ryan, though, because he admitted not liking football to start with. So he actually only went into that to not reveal who he was. I mean, that's how he came across in an interview. So that's
again,
a little bit different.
But then again, I do see that as that's probably quite similar to many men who are attracted to serving in the defence forces.
Military.
Because there's way of forcing, it's sort of like going into to join the church. You know, it sounds bizarre correlation, but I think there's a thing about suppressing that part of you you don't want to face up to, and joining an organisation like that. I'm not saying there's a really strong parallel between sports clubs and the defence forces, but I would imagine many men, that it's just way, I just want to focus on my job. I don't like these feelings I'm having. I'm going to suppress them deep, deep down somewhere.
I think it was more for him. It wasn't just focus on the job. It was also appear like the stereotypical straight bloke. And
that's what I think the army also does for many men.
I don't know if you also saw just in the last couple of weeks, there's been an NFL player who has come out as bisexual too, Ryan Russell from the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is still playing, but so I think there's something coming. There's some change in the waters.
And if you look on social media, there are a lot of pictures of him and his boyfriend. So it's come out as bisexual, but it's also really put himself out there with a partner, and Ryan says for him it was fine afterwards. His teammates, there was no problems, and the sponsors didn't seem to have a problem. So
we're just posting right now a link to Ryan's book on our Facebook page. That's Worldwide Wave or W3 Joy. You can go through and have a look at that, and we'll post his foundation up there as well.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the Worldwide Wave.
Is a blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend, take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Was Beautiful Day with U2, and that's a song performed at one of their Super Bowl final in I think it was 2001.
That would have got people up absolutely singing. I can hear them all, you know, screeching out the words.
And that's our musical theme tonight, isn't it? All the songs we've got have been performed or either here
footy finals.
Footy finals or the Super Bowl.
On Worldwide Wave.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, former American NFL footballer Ryan O'Callaghan. His book, My Life on the Line, How the NFL Damn Near Killed Me and Ended Up Saving My Life. We've posted the link to that where you can buy that book on our Facebook page, which is Worldwide Wave or W3Joy. And also his foundation, the Ryan O'Callaghan Foundation, is rofdn.org.
And thank you to the messages on Facebook, Gary, Benita, Linda, Lindy, sorry, Gavin, Caitlin, and a heap more have joined us and interacted with us this week on Facebook. That's W3Joy on Facebook. Thank you to me, the podcaster, for putting up the podcast.
Stay tuned. Bad Guys is coming up next with Helen and Alex. It's Joy.
Bad Guys,
Bad Guys or
gays?
Bad Guys?
What do I say?
Bad Guys.
Bad Guys. Bad Guys. Bad Guys.
Must be go home time. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.